Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando. And welcome to the show.
I was drinking something, sorry, and I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Stylist. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. I'll give our first thoughts, and then we will go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, TV Corner, we're doing From Episode 5, and I'm just going to go out and say this was not the best episode. So I'm just going to go right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And
first thoughts overall on the show, since we're what?
Halfway.
On this first season? I really think shows like this could do a lot better if each episode focused on a different storyline. Because now I had a hard time remembering what happened in this episode, or whether it was in this episode or the previous episode. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm going to lead with right now. Because I remembered one part of it, then I was like, oh, that fucking part of the thing too. I forgot about that story.
Yeah. Let's get the big revelation spoiler out of the way, that Julie realizes there's a lighter side of town with Ellis and Fadmia on the colony house.
Yeah.
The most important thing to happen. Julie's now enjoying herself in her free life in the colony house.
She's finally having her licorice pizza moment of her life.
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie, but I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But my other jam, you know, I've got horror movies, I've got rom-coms, believe it or not, and then I've got coming-of-age movies as my top favorite type.
So this is just like perfect, delicious catnip then. It has all of that wrapped up in one episode.
Oh, yes. The only thing it's missing is my fourth favorite style of movie is brooding asshole with a horrible past goes through a film. A la Save the Tiger with Jack Lemmon.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Sarah's brother died. That's the big spoiler. You want to start there?
I know, because this town, like, trying to, like, if you want to be in this town or a part of this, any of these communities, it's real cutthroat, apparently.
Oh! Spoiler! I was trying to look for the brother's name, but it doesn't matter. He's dead. I don't never bothered to learn. Nathan. Is it Nathan? Nathan. Sure.
So, this episode is the only episode so far we've seen where those things did not kill anybody, right?
So, yeah. So, this goes back to, we finally are getting some progression on Sarah, who seems convinced that if she kills certain people, she'll be released from this town, basically. Let's call it that. Because they spent a lot of time talking in circles about what this is, and I guess that's maybe in place to start asking questions and where actually they are. We even leave the last scene of the show is left with Tabitha saying, like, maybe we didn't survive the crash, right? Maybe they're dead, maybe it's purgatory. And there's also some other suggestions from, like, Jade, who is trying to he's the guy with the
the rich guy,
right? He's the one that
he's like a physics genius?
Something like that. I didn't really catch too much. I zoned out a little bit on his stuff.
So I think he's going to be the key.
He seems the most convinced of finding some sort of connection to the outside world, right?
Yeah. Because when he talks to the bartender who ends up being a philosophy major, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I like that they make their own crappy tasting super vodka.
I'm kind of happy they addressed that, because that was one of the things in the pilot. I was like, they have a bar in this town? Like, why would you need a bar in this town? Yeah. Because I thought for sure they were just getting drunk in his house. What were you saying?
Yeah, that Jade apparently is, I think, super fucking smart. Like, the reason he was all fucked up and drugged was because they were celebrating that he was going to be... He had, like, made a breakthrough in science.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that's what's going to help. He's going to be the key to getting out, but I'm wondering if he was brought into this town to help these things get out too, inadvertently.
Now, yeah, I think we're also getting... they're leaning more on the supernatural spooky stuff, because we have assumed that everything going on in this town is bad, right? Or something that's troubling. But now they're posing the question that maybe there's some good shit in this town. And I'm thinking... A lot of the things that are happening aren't only the creatures in the woods that are eating people at night. There's maybe other things or factors or some other things going on there. Not quite sure what yet.
Yeah, what do you make of Boyd's hand thing? Because I started thinking, like, oh, maybe it's just in his head, but I kind of rewatched it a little bit to kind of refresh my memory, and I'm starting to think... potentially, this is the beginning of turning into either one of those things or something else.
I think he's getting Parkinson's. Yeah, that's where I was leaning towards. That he has early onset Parkinson's, and maybe now he's starting to actually go through some of the, I don't know, some of the tics or whatever they get from it. Because We also learned that Boyd's wife died, and she's buried up in some part of the town or in the woods.
Somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere, yeah. The new family doesn't respect the house that they were given.
They're just going to live there forever. We're going to write on all the walls.
Yeah. Sarah is encouraged to kill this kid by several people because she doesn't outright say what she's going to do.
I am happy this story progressed. I'm a little glad it's over now. We don't have to, like, constantly be worrying about, like, or thinking that...
Is it? Or is she now somebody that they're going to talk to open up fucking doors in the middle of the night so they could get in and eat everybody?
That's true. I think right now, I feel like she's going to be outcast right now, right? Because of what she did.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I have a feeling she's going to go full in with these things if they keep her alive.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to go and start, like, opening up other random doors in the town so these things can eat everybody.
Possibly.
So that might be, like, a end of the season thingy.
Possibly. I feel like her character is more on like, a trajectory of redemption. I feel like she's... kind of was led astray a little bit, and now she's gonna kind of help out. That's my...
Well, if it's a redemption she's about to get,
which is gonna...
Cutting your brother's throat open is a funny way to
say. So, so in the last episode, Victor dug 6 graves, so he's one. We can count him as one of the dead bodies now, the brothers. So we got 5 more to fill. You think they'll fill them before the end of the season? Do you think there'd be deaths every episode from here to the end of the season, or there'll be multitude of deaths?
If not, we're gonna have a banger of the last episode.
Yeah, 5 deaths in the last episode could work.
I mean, that could be potentially... maybe we could look at... maybe we'll get introduced to a house that has 5 people living in it or something.
Oh.
You know, and then maybe my idea of Sarah coming by and fucking killing people is gonna come to fruition. I don't know.
It's a lot going on. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, I was a little... The reason why I said what I said earlier about it, I'm not really vibing with the show, because I feel like everything outside whatever happened with Sarah kind of was just spinning its wheels. Nothing progressed, right? There was just a lot of questions asked. Literally, like you said earlier, there's literally characters writing on what might be possibilities of where they are, right? And why there is what's happening kind of deal. And that's, like, to me, kind of, like, symbolic of what the episode was. It was kind of very filler, very filler besides what's happening with Sarah. So I don't know, what did you think?
I'm not sure what to make of this one. So the only part I kind of disagree with is I thought our last episode was kind of the most boring one to me. Like, this one was a little more exciting. But I think it was mostly because of Sarah and mostly, like, you know, walking around with the kid and being like, ugh. Oh, another reason she might still be alive is because, you remember, she mentioned, like, oh, there's several places. We call them hide spots where you can hide from these things. And she knows them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely think that's...
Oh, and we're aware of the cabin that's out in the middle of the woods because the dude didn't take that opportunity and let himself
go. Mm-hmm. Yep. And there was a time, they do mention there was a time before the totems where the people had to hide at night. So there's secret passages, dun dun dun, which might actually, I'm assuming Tabitha might find interesting because they let Tabitha know. So I'm assuming that's where she's going to be doing now. Because I feel like the way this episode ended, it seems like she's all in on trying to figure out what this fucking place is. I think before she was mostly in trauma of like the car crash, being where they are, her family splitting up, adjusting. But now I feel like this could be her sort of like motivation to get out or figure out what this place is. So I think a lot is going to be put on her now.
Which do you believe that? Is that believable the way that worked out? Like, would you personally be like, I need to get the fuck out of here just because since you got stuck in this town, the people have been fucking insane? I guess I would try to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been actually.
Yeah.
To pull back a little, I think it's been like really shitty for this new family. They've had like creepy weirdos attack them. and they make a good point. Jim, the husband, he makes a good point. Like, he's been harassed by Victor. He almost got his child killed, you know. And they said, and he makes a point to tell him, like, oh, there's good people here. And it's like, dude, there's all these people are fucked up. They haven't done anything decent they haven't treated any of these people decently. They're all kind of like,
yeah, you're not allowed to fucking see your daughter. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, that's something I want.
Why is it
like that's that? The thing that I want to understand is why is the colony house separated from the town people? Maybe it's not as interesting, and maybe it's very matter of fact in its division. You know, maybe it's very like simple explanation. But I wish they had spent a little bit of time explaining why they are separated, why, you know, why they live the way they live. You know, so why the rules are the way they are. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. I wish they would address already.
Yeah, I want to understand that, and I guess we're probably just going to get more Sarah's story, to be honest. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, we didn't see what the conversation was like between her and the preacher. So there's no telling whether, like, oh, here, take this fucking totem and go to that place out in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I hope that's not the case. I hope we get more information about these houses instead of more Sarah stuff.
Yeah. Seems like there's not a main storyline. It seems like the main storyline is going to be like they all want to leave. It's so funny that there's a parallel between Boyd and the character Hare Perrineau played in Lost. So I think there's...
Yeah.
He also, in the first season, was trying to get off the island, and he gets the revelation to build the boat. And I feel like Boyd gets a sign from his wife when the music played, it gets a sign that, and it sounds like the song's saying something about him leaving. You gotta leave or do some shit, right? Or is that what you got from that? Or
yeah,
what do you think? No, am I reading too much into that?
I don't know what to make of that. Maybe not. It was just ambiguous to me. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll find out what his revelation is next episode. That's all I kind of got from
it. I had a...
Also because, was he the only person that could hear that?
No. Apparently they referenced that happens randomly. It just, those little jukeboxes play randomly.
Oh, I thought, but what I got from that was they don't play actual music or anything that's audible. It's just like staticky weird noise that happens for like a second, then it goes away.
That's the radios.
Because that also happened, that diner incident happened, what, episode 2 or something, or 3?
Yeah, it's...
when the family was there.
Yeah. That's the episode they explain that it just picked, it just randomly plays songs. I'm assuming whatever's there in the playable list.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I don't remember it playing any audible anything. I remember it being staticky like the CB radio.
No, yeah. I think it plays bits of songs. You know what I mean?
Because also the way that the actress acted in that scene, it seemed like she was confused by what his reaction was.
I guess because of the way he behaved, because he was like, he was behaving as if he had like a eureka moment. You know, he was behaving like something clicked, and obviously she's oblivious to Boyd questioning himself and asking for some sort of sign or whatever. I don't think the EMT lady or whatever, she wasn't privy to it. Speaking of, we also learned that she's a lesbian, right? Is that right? I don't know if that's like breaking storyline or anything there, but that's not breaking news or anything.
You're talking about the daughter, right?
No, the doctor of the...
the doctor, that's right. I'm thinking of a different...
Because Sarah mentions, when they're having the little one-on-one together, Sarah mentions something about, like, the other guy, Kenny, the deputy, who's like, you and Kenny are, like, cute together and shit. And she's like, well, I have somebody at home. She's somebody I love very much, and I miss her, and I don't want to betray her. So... I do reveal that.
Quick, probably not associated with anything we watched. What did we watch where somebody was like, oh, it was Louder Milk. Never mind. Moving on. Somebody found a new show and just keeps mixing everything up.
It's John. Yeah. but yeah, I was underwhelmed with this episode overall. I'm kind of want to see what the next thing is going to be. I'm actually starting to get really curious about what this town is. More history about the town. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what's with the crows? That's something that's never really addressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can make our own assumptions about like the carrying the souls of the dead, you know, stuff like that. So maybe they are in purgatory.
Maybe, yeah.
But I don't know.
Ho hum episode.
I guess we'll just have to tune in next week.
Yeah. All right.
And you'll know where they're from.
Bum, bum, bum. Cleveland. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no! Florida.
No!
Ha ha, Mr. Worldwide. I'm like, no!
Alrighty. Okay, we can move on to our main review of The Stylist.
Stylist.
John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Johnny's 5-word plot summary for The Stylist. Coming in at number 3, identity scammer becomes too sloppy.
Yeah, that's accurate. Very accurate, yeah.
Coming in at number 2, Ginger looking for a soul.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was redhead, but
towards Ginger.
She's definitely Ginger.
I mean, no, I don't think... Yeah. She's also English, and she's got a great American accent.
Oh. Okay.
Interesting. Because she might be my new love of my life, and I just got to go over to cross the pond and break her up with her husband. Coming in at number 1, Lonely Girl Loves Beautiful Minds.
Oh. That's a good one. I like that.
It's just thoughtful and poetic. All right, let's talk about this. Like, let's get straight to the point. You know? You know, where is she from and why is she doing this? All right. Now that those questions aren't answered, let's move on to the rest of the movie.
So have you seen, and I'm sure you have, Manic? 1980.
Who's in that one?
An actor? I don't know. So, no. Not anybody famous.
Are you talking about Manic Cop?
No, I'm talking about Manic. Let's see. I don't. His name's like. This is fascinating podcasting right now. 1980. Joe Spinell. He plays Frank Zito. Have you seen that?
Oh, Joe Spinell. No,
I don't know. Oh, hey, Joe Spinell.
Hey, guess what? You got a good head of hair. How about I take it?
So he also...
Right?
So in this 1980 movie, he plays a psychopath man, goes and killing and mutilates people by basically skinning them and taking their hair. Parallel.
Ooh. So I'm wondering, at what point is it weird? No, it's probably not weird. Essentially, it's scalping, right?
Scalping, yes.
Which indigenous tribes were famous for doing to instill fear in the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. But not all of them. I think that was like something that a few people, like few tribes did, and then
mm-hmm.
America just fucking stranglehold.
Okay.
But yeah, I what can I start off?
I think
by saying about this film, I feel like this is a more hardcore. I'm not saying, I just can't think of a word for it. Not slapsticky like it's funny, but more to the point sort of version of Fresh. Like, it's very, but you're following the bad guy. That's not a spoiler, right? Because that's the whole movie?
No.
Actually, no. She does something to somebody within like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I know. So I brought up the movie Manic because I feel like the way that character killed the people is very, very inspired. I'm using quotes, air quotes, very inspired by the way he killed people. So and it's also about a psychopath, and it's also like in the daily routine in life of a psychopath. So I think the stylist definitely takes inspiration, I'd say, is a nice way to say that.
Yeah.
And
did you catch that this is there was a short of this, and
I did not.
The same people made it.
I only, you know, going through IMDb looking for names and stuff, I did see that there was another one called Stylist with the same actress. So I assumed usually that means that there was a short before. So this was probably a short film. Yeah.
Same director, same, who's also the same producer.
Mm-hmm.
Jill Gervargas.
Nailed it.
Yeah. And then you got Najara, most beautiful woman in the world, Townsend.
I think...
That's a weird middle name.
I know, I think that this movie... I think all artists take inspiration and they adapt stuff they love, right? And so I think this movie definitely is an homage, a sort of, you know, retelling of that same story with the same setup and premises. But the ad, I think, a very interesting like twist to it, wrinkle, in the sense that it's now a woman who's crazy, right? Yeah. And she's a hairdresser.
But you could also say, I mean, this is like a lot of different movies I'm catching.
Okay, yeah.
Peep Show, mm-hmm. right? Argento heavily inspired by Argento.
That's true.
As she starts to lose your mind a little mm-hmm. more, the color palette of the lighting changes.
I did notice that. That's actually a good,
yeah,
good take.
And the art direction too just gets more intense. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Serial Mom.
I'm thinking like.
Just any reason to bring that movie up.
Like Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, is also kind of like,
yeah,
in a sense.
Oh, with Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, yeah. Yeah. Simpson joke. Yeah, no, I think I really enjoyed The Stylist. I thought, I think the only thing that maybe deterred me a little bit, it's kind of a slow-paced movie at times. A little bit. Even though it's like 100 minutes, it's like not very long at all.
Yeah.
The pacing is pretty slow. But I think it's done because they want to focus in on the sort of looking at a cycle, like looking at the way the character thinks and behaves, who's crazy, right? He's like a murderer, essentially.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the movie is just very not, this isn't an insult because I think this is exactly what I was going for. It's very cringeworthy. It's so cringy. The entire movie, you're just like, ugh.
Mm.
Like just the awkward conversation, the, you know, not understanding boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was actually similar. I got similar vibes, like the same Maude. Like, to me, yeah, the scariest parts of those movies is not when she's like screaming about religion and stuff. It's when she's like trying to be actually social in that brief scenes. Yeah. Like, that stuff was horrifying because she was so, like you said, awkward. And similar to like this character, she's also incredibly lonely, awkward, unconfident. Ooh, you know, yeah, Carrie.
Yeah.
Similarly like that.
I feel like this movie is heavily inspired by Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the end.
So do you think, one thing I gotta ask is, do you think she was killing because she was jealous of the people she was styling their hair, or was she killing like judgmentally because, like, similar, like the first kill, she kills her and they just have a very hairstylist, hairdresser conversation, but she mentions about how she's cheating on her husband, right? And yeah. I thought that she did she kill her because she was judging her and her life, or because she liked who she was? I don't know. What do you think from that?
I started thinking maybe she A, wanted a friend to like these people, or B, was attracted to them, maybe sexually, but didn't know how to go about that, right?
There's a lot of repression in her character, yeah.
Yeah. And I like that that's not very focused on, because otherwise the whole movie would be about like, oh, she's gay, so she's
gay. Yeah, that would have been bad. Shit, yeah, you know? Yeah, that would have been weird.
Yeah. So that's why you don't know anything about her. You never know anything about her. And you don't know why she's doing this. There's nothing that really hints at it. Like the one scene I thought like, oh, okay. And then it turns out that she fucking made it up, I guess.
Which?
Because she didn't know how to converse. When she's talking to Bria.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Brea's like, oh, well, I never really knew my dad because he left when I was born and blah, 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 blah. And then she asked Najara, like, oh, what about you? And she's like, yeah, you know, I never knew my dad either, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. And when she gets back in her car, she's like, I didn't know my dad. And she's like upset with herself, like, what is going, why?
But she's lying.
Essentially saying, like, she's lying. Like, why did I fucking say that? Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, I get that. I mean, that's why I did like that you don't know anything about it. You don't know why. Because that's not the point of this. It's a moment. It is the last moments of her. Oh, actually, we don't know this for a fact. But it's like the last moments of her being anonymous as this type of person that's clearly killed a bunch of people. Because she's got her little cave, her little, like,
right.
death basement.
Mm-hmm.
very cool, because she can afford a house in Kansas City as a hairstylist.
Yeah. So yeah, I was curious about that is I thought that she's like killing people judgmentally at first, but I think she just does it as a ritualistically, meaning like she does it as like compulsionally. She kills people because she wants to, right? She wants, maybe she also hint early in the movie that maybe she likes the hair. She likes the style of hair. She's constantly looking at women's hair. But when she meets horror icon Brea Grant, or skeleton boy favorite Brea Grant, she because anything with Brea Grant I'm gonna watch. It seems like, and Brea Grant shows like just some nice, she's very kind to her, right? She's very nice, very kind, with the caveat that she wants something from her, which I think is where the character, our main character, kind of gets confused, right? Claire.
Yeah, or I think also there was never a good moment. There might have been a moment where she was about to actually kill Brea, but like people kept interrupting her.
Oh,
so I'm wondering if that was, so it just stretched for so long that she became obsessed, and then she didn't know how to handle it. And then they have that whole like, it's almost like a rom-com sequence of scenes where she's waiting for a text from her, and she's getting restless and sad. And,
because that's when her obsession starts.
I think it's sexual repression.
Yeah, sexual repression.
I think it's sexual repression and also wishing she was as beautiful as these people. So I think that's why she takes the hair, because that's what she's familiar
with. Right, yeah.
And she knows how to take care of hair at least.
That's true. Yeah, good point. Because,
so she's taking care of the hair, and she wishes she was as beautiful, and she wishes she knew these people, and she makes up all these like stories about them. And then she gets crazy and starts crying,
Which I thought was really jarring, because at this point I felt like her character was very in control, which is why I thought maybe she was the first kill, she was more doing it like she has like a certain, I thought as a killer she was more like I have a certain way of doing things and I'm very in control and I have all this stuff together, and she's very like put together about stuff, you know, like she obsesses about the blood on her shoe, she obsesses about like spilling something on her dress, like she has like a compulsion, right? But I think with Olivia being so vulnerable with Claire, I think that's where that repression comes, that sexual repression, that she becomes like kind of just obsessed. She doesn't know how to deal with somebody being nice to her, being genuine with her, so she kind of just takes it too personal or too far, I think, emotionally. So
yeah, just because Brea gets drunk and has her like cold feet moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say wet.
Yeah,
I'm not planning on ever getting married, ladies and gentlemen. So forgive me if I don't know. Listen,
wet feet are the worst, dude. Wet feet are never a fucking good thing.
I thought maybe she had wet socks without a pair to change into.
No, dude.
Situation going
it's
on.
It's a real thing, man. Wet feet, you just...
I thought she had soggy underwear, but she's in the middle of a road trip sort of situation going on.
Fucking stepping in a puddle and then you're squishing all the way home in your fucking wet-ass shoes. It's terrible, dude.
I thought she was having one of those moments where she had a ketchup packet in her pocket and she forgot and it popped, and then when she reached in to grab some, she's like, ah, fuck! You know those moments you have right before you get married? I forgot where I was going with that. But yeah, so...
Cold feet moment, yeah.
Brea Grant has her cold feet moment, and Claire, I think, just takes that too far and is like, oh, I gotta break him up. I gotta save her. She needs saving because he doesn't see her. Nobody sees me, but she sees me.
Mm-hmm. That at some point she does want to become these people, because she does try on the sculpts, right? She tried to try on the first victim's sculpt, right?
Yeah. And then also the scalp of the... who was she? Actually, I don't know who she was. I got to point out, there's several characters in this. I'm sorry, makeup team, but the fucking tattoos look terrible. They're so fucking fake.
Okay. What do you, I don't know.
You got to powder the shit out of those things or something. but the the lady at the end that was a part of the bachelor party, question mark?
Okay. Yeah.
The one where she goes up to the front door and she's like, I need help. So she's like, oh, okay, oh, come inside. Wait here, let me go get the phone. And then she attacks her immediately.
I thought that was just a random person. I didn't know that she was part of the bridesmaid.
It might have been. I don't know. Not bridesmaid, groomsman maybe? I don't know.
I thought that was just like a... Because they have periods where she does kill people, I think just to kill them. Because like anybody kind of like nice to her, like they have the barista she kills, Don, right? And she clumsily like messes up the sculpt and she wakes up, which was really kind of fucked up moment in the movie. And I think I think at some point Claire wants to stop killing, right? And then when she starts up again, this person was a victim of it, the person you're speaking about.
Yeah, so whose fault is that really then, right? It's the fucking hardware store guy who said like where he's trying to make a joke, you're trying to keep somebody out or keep somebody in, and she's like, keep somebody out, definitely. That totally didn't keep her out, so that guy's culpable of all these murders.
I really like the next scene where she has the sight gag of you see she walks outside and you see where she has the basement as a setup, right? And she has the boards nailed over the basement. That's kind of funny.
It's like a storm cellar situation, right? Like,
It was really funny. They had the new pieces of wood just like not even very, you know, very just sort of just slammed on there, hammered on there. It's kind of funny.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to talk about this film because there's only like one thing that's like a major spoiler, and it's the very end of the film.
I was personally fascinated by the look at this character, and I think it's because you have really strong leads like Bria Grant and Najara Townsend were very good, and they're like in pretty much the majority of this movie. And I actually liked everybody I thought was pretty well cast, and it was really really well directed movie about somebody who's basically a serial killer, right? And unexpectedly the twist being that she's like a stylist, right? And they really lean in that. I thought those aspects were really well. Like I said, the only other big problem I had was just the pacing. I thought it was a little slow on the pace. I felt like it could have got going a little faster, but I think it was done intentionally. So I think it was just a director's choice.
Yeah,
there's a feel.
I don't know what else would work for it. I agree, though, it was kind of slow. But I wouldn't know what else to do to alleviate the pacing issue that would still show you how weird and how awkward and how like, you know, indecisive she is, I guess, you know, about things. Like, there's only one thing she knows for sure, is she likes hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
And did you get the feeling at the very beginning that Bria and Najara knew each other previously at some point, and then there was like some sort of weird apology that happened, and then I just didn't understand what that was about.
The sense I got was that's Olivia has gone and got her hair done with Claire often. Like, she's a regular customer. But she wouldn't do the wedding hair because Claire doesn't like doing wedding hair. She knew that Claire wouldn't have done it. So there definitely was like a relationship there. But on Olivia's side, I think whoever she had hired dropped out. And so she kind of like insisted on Claire doing it for her, and then Claire said yes. So,
right, yeah,
that was the sense I got that this was her normal hairdresser. So I'm assuming that Claire just hadn't killed her yet, you know, or
yeah,
Claire, you know, Olivia hadn't done anything to Claire to want to kill her, or I don't know. There's a little bit of a plot hole confusion there.
Do you think it was an because I'm also wondering, do you think it was intentional that I mean, I guess this is why I'm thinking there's a lot of sexual repression, because there was never a moment where, like, there was one guy that got his hair cut by her,
mm-hmm.
and nothing happened to that guy. And then I started thinking, what if another guy came in with, like, long, like, really beautiful hair, like, curly, like, black hair, and he's, like, he's in his mid-30s, and it still looks really fucking
John, are we
good.
Talking about you?
I mean, if Najara Townsend wants to do my hair,
she's not a real stylist, John.
You know, if there could potentially be a sequel, right?
Yeah.
You know, because it ends in a certain way. So if I need to be in there, and you need to have like a 30-minute...
Typical man, just wanted to make it about you. No, I'm just kidding.
I just want to get my hair done.
I know.
By specifically Najara Townsend.
I think there's definitely a point... You're definitely making a great point, because the men, there's like no men in this movie. The men are like non-existent.
Yeah,
they're like an afterthought, really.
Yeah,
they're really unimportant. And I feel like I think you're absolutely right. I think in her repression, her sexual repression, because she like doesn't she end up going to her house and wear her clothes and use her vibrator too?
Dude, like that. She wears her fucking nightgown, uh-huh. right? And then which I was all about this scene, but when she pulls out her little her what the fuck's it called? That was a pocket rocket, there's a name for it. Anyway, her little bullet, and then I was like, oh my gosh, she's not gonna fucking use it, right? This was like a rare moment in my I'm very
Cucina. Yeah, we all know that. So,
yeah. I was, you know, a rare moment where I'm like, oh no, I can't get into this. This is fucked up. Like the whole movie's like fucked up to me. So that moment I was like, oh no, she's not gonna do that, right? And then she doesn't. I'm like, oh, okay, good.
She started to.
And then she does do it.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Cause it takes a long time for her to just do it, and cause she gets back up.
Yeah.
And then she starts to use it, and then she falls back onto the bed. I was like, what the fuck?
That's a crazy scene, yeah.
Yeah. The whole movie, I'm like, holy shit, this is fucked up. And the end, even, I was like, man, this is great. Should we do it? Should we talk
about
it?
I think we're ready. Let's, John, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
What happens at the end?
She's Carrie.
She's Carrie.
Just kidding.
What?
Because it's almost the same ending.
She gets her period?
Where Carrie gets dumped in the pig's blood.
Yeah, she gets her period. What part of Carrie are we talking about?
That's why she's a redhead.
She's a, yeah.
No. So what, she waits for Freya Grant to be alone. And then Najara starts like crying while talking to her. Like, I got to tell you something. I got to admit something. I don't run. I'm not a runner. Which to me, I thought was like, oh, she's finally lost it. But also, I think it was supposed to be symbolic of once she's lashed onto somebody she wants to kill, she has to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right about the whole, like, she meets her and then she decides she doesn't want to kill anymore. But then she's like, I can't not kill her. I have to. So her obsession turns into that. She's like, I don't run. And then she walks down the fucking aisle.
So let's explain
and
this
there's
scene.
There's this whole reveal.
Yeah. So there is one murder we don't see, and that's Olivia's. And they do the really smart, clever, cool thing of Olivia getting married. She's walking down the aisle. We don't see her face, only to be revealed that Claire has scalped her and is wearing her hair.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's funny that, yeah. The husband like grabs her hands, they're real happy, and then she's like looking, he's looking at her hands and he does like that questioning face. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's a really nice moment where Claire reveals that she's killed Olivia and that she's basically trying to, I don't know what she's doing there, act like she's her.
She's acting like Claire, yeah. Like she, this is her life, and she's like, you know, looking at everybody smiling and like pretending like it's her wedding,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's obviously freaking the fuck out. And then the only person that smiles back is a little flower girl that she did her hair for,
yeah.
Which is the only like hairstyle where I'm like, oh, that is a little girl's hair.
We're all judgy. It's just that hairstyle, B plus.
I was like, this is where shit goes off the rails. It wasn't after she's wearing her scalp. It's like right when she's smiling at that little grunt, I'm like, her hair looks like shit.
There is a really great detail in all these scalpings where there's a little piece of skin left. And so when she puts it on, there's like this clear division between her scalp and the other scalp that has like a bloodline in it with the hair. And I was like, oh man, that's a really cool detail. And you just...
So I think that's like the only... Well... It's like one of the only realistic parts in any movie I've seen where people get scalped, because a lot of the times I think people just do the hair part, right? Which is like, what's the hair connected to?
Yeah, no.
There's nothing keeping the hair there. You need like extra skin like right here. But then also like you would have like part of the ear and the sideburns and stuff, which she had all of that. But I guess that's why she likes long hair then, right?
Yeah.
Because if you do short hair, it's a little bit harder to do.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Then you need to take some ears...
I think that's a great ending horror moment. It reminds me of maybe one of my favorite horror endings, like May, when she...
I was going to mention earlier, I just didn't know...
You got some May vibes.
We kept talking about other stuff. I was going to be like, isn't this exactly like May? She's trying to find a friend, so she's trying to make her own friend.
Yeah.
And then she wants to be these
Spoilers
friends.
For May if you haven't seen it. But yeah, when the... she, what does she do? She takes out her eye, right? She gives him her eyes. Is that what it happens? Oh my God, I haven't seen that movie in a million years, but she takes out her eyes, gives it to the body, and the body starts to move and like hug her. And that was like probably one of the coolest chilling moments in a movie.
Which is fucking great because it's like the only movie that realistically shows you that no, science isn't the answer to everything. It's love.
Yeah. If you love something. She made her own little Frankenstein man. So...
And she also probably off screen prayed for this to happen. So it's also God made this happen.
And then they got married and had a bunch of babies, Frankenstein babies.
Yeah. and then NSYNC made a song about the movie because of how beautiful it was.
Yeah,
it's gonna be May.
Yeah, NSYNC, it's beautiful. Yeah, no, I this is an excellent movie. Really fun. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I thought they did really...
I really liked it.
Same. Yeah, I think they did a really good job with putting you in the shoes of a serial killer, you know? Like, and they did a really good job with picking a profession that only would lean itself to murdering, right? Like, a stylist works close with an individual, and it's like, whoever the person being styled is trusting the person with sharp objects, right? That's always a common fear of somebody messing somebody's hair or, you know, cutting too close. That's always just in the back of people's minds, I imagine. Somebody who doesn't have any hair, that's always in the back, I imagine, being in the back of somebody's mind. So
my thing is like, God, this is why I fucking hate getting a shave done. I just don't.
Yeah.
I know people are like, oh, it's like really relaxing. I'm like, no, fuck that.
Yeah, you're talking about like a blade, right? Like somebody, grooming or like shaving a mustache or something. Or beard.
Yeah, I've gotten it done, I think, like twice. And I'm like, this is not for me. I just don't like this.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. So. I could slip my throat at any moment.
It's a really smart, clever movie that I think does a pretty... decent job of walking through it, and I don't know. Cool. Did you have any last thoughts?
No, I think it's worth a watch. That's it. It's great.
Okay.
Is there a Townsend? I love you, please. Okay.
That's me. I'll do the next movie. All right, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give the
stylist. 8 sexy spooky bones. Going for 2 8 sexy spooky bones ratings in a row.
Oh, yeah, it's right? True. The Innocence, you rated also an 8. I think it's a really interesting movie. I think that, again, the pacing was a little off for me personally, but I thought everything going on was kind of interesting, kind of fascinating. Really good actresses in this. I love seeing females in horror. You know, my favorite movie last year was Censor, and this is also directed by a female, and the majority of this cast is female, so always happy to see that, and it is a really good movie also. So I'm going to give it 7 sexy spooky bones. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky!
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.